Lufar Palace, how we doing out there? Dr. P-Rat here, talking our famous question. What's going on in the world today? And if you're out there hearing our voice, then connect to us, people, for all your local Lufar updates. Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, all over the place. Like, we're just barely 4 weeks away from our next live show. March 21st, 5:30 p.m. at UNO 4th floor of the library. We taking it over, people. For more details, flyers coming soon. Oh, yeah. Now, let's dig into that Lo-Fi Global news for you. Starting out in the UK, a story that we've been following for years. I mean, really, since the beginning of Lo-Fi Poli-Sci, we've been watching this one develop. So here's an update to a 24-year-old British woman who went to Syria when she was 15 to join ISIS as a bride and marry an ISIS member. Now she's in a refugee camp. She's 24 years old, awaiting to go back to the UK, but the UK government, they said no. They stripped her of her British passport, her citizenship. And the women's lawyers, they've appealed that last year and lost and appealed it again to the National Court of Appeal just last week. And lost again. And now it's likely that they will appeal all the way to the UK's highest court. And you know, and the matter at stake here isn't just one person. But if the UK's decision to strip her of her citizenship stands, the woman will be stateless, meaning she will have no nationality, which is illegal for a country to do under international law and the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights. However, the UK government says that she can get citizenship from Bangladesh, where her family is originally from. But her family says, no, that is not true. And this is, without a doubt, a test case for people from around the world. If the UK successfully strips this woman of her citizenship and she does become stateless, that can have major implications across the globe for countries doing similar moves. We'll be following this one closely moving forward, people. Now, next up, we are moving a bit further away from the UK, but that's right, we're moving to the moon. And yes, I am serious. Intuitive Machines, a private corporation, has become the first ever private company to land on the moon. Only 5 countries have even landed on the moon: Russia, US, China, India, and Japan. And now, the 6th isn't even a country. It's a private company. I mean, think about this, people. There's almost 200 countries in the world, and almost none of them have ever made it to the moon. And yet this company, Intuitive Machines, well, now they've been there. Space colonization coming to a galaxy near you very, very soon. Now, a question for y'all, you out there. Cotton candy, good or bad? I mean, what is cotton candy? Does anyone really know what cotton candy is? I don't think so. I mean, it's sugar with color and flavors that's just created out of air? Question mark. I have no idea, and neither do several states in the country of India, where it is starting to be banned because, they say, it causes cancer, having tested local samples and finding rhodamine B in it. So the question is cotton candy universally the same thing, or is it just these local incidents in India that cotton candy can cause cancer? We'll let you know more as soon as we find out. Now, out in Senegal, where elections were delayed, then the Constitutional Court said, no, no, that's illegal. The election for president must go on as scheduled. It is unconstitutional for the president to postpone the election. Well, today, for me, is Sunday, February 25th, election day in Senegal. Lo-fi newsflash, peeps. There is no election taking place in Senegal right now. That's right, the government dropped the ball, period. Now the president, who leaves office on April 2nd, says that next week he's going to meet with politicians and other political leaders to see about setting a date. But at this point, can Senegal have an election before the current president leaves office? Question mark. Or is Senegal seriously going into the territory of being a country without a president? We'll be keeping an eye out on this one for sure, people, to see what happens next. And a last piece of something-something before we switch to our Fab 5 of the Day. The year, we think, but we could be wrong, was 1445. The place, England. The day, Pancake Day. That's right. This year we were all too wrapped up in Mardi Gras to remember that wonderful, almost 600-year-old tradition of Pancake Day, which is the same day as Mardi Gras, people. So to all our friends across the pond, may we wish you a very fond and belated Happy Pancake Day. All right. Check it. This week's Fab Five of the Day, I decided to shine a light to places I think don't get enough shine. I mean, places in the world that seemingly don't get talked about enough, or at all. So today we are doing the five least talked about African countries, in my opinion, that is. And considering I scour the internet constantly for international news, I think these five really are five of the least discussed of all African countries in the international news cycle. And really, that means least discussed of all countries globally. Now, the order, I'll say it doesn't mean anything. So while I number them 1 through 5, you can reorder them as you see fit. So let's dig it, people. The five least talked about African countries in international news are: number 5, Liberia; number 4, Burundi; number 3, Equatorial Guinea; number 2, Republic of Congo; number 1, Togo. And there you have it, people. Our Fab Five of the Day. And do yourself a favor, look these countries up, see what's what, and what's going on in Liberia, Burundi, Equatorial Guinea, Republic of Congo, and Togo. All right, now let's check it into our final segment of the day, switching gears to that lo-fi global trivia. We got 5 questions coming at you. I'm getting right into it. Number 1, in 2021, Emmanuel Macron, the president of France, acknowledged partial French responsibility for the 1994 genocide in what African nation, where members of the Tutsis were murdered during a civil war there? In 2021, Emmanuel Macron acknowledged partial French responsibility for the 1994 genocide in what African nation, where members of the Tutsis were murdered during a civil war there? Question number 2. If you were to list the members of the United Nations in alphabetical order, which country would be last? That's right. If you were to list all the member states of the United Nations, which country would be last if you did it alphabetical order, in English, that is? Number 3. In 1997, 2 major nations signed an agreement to hand over a piece of land with restrictions that would expire in 50 years. Events in 2019 and 2020 have seemingly accelerated the timeline of those expirations. What is this land? In 1997, 2 major nations signed an agreement to hand over a piece of land with restrictions that would expire in 50 years. Events in 2019 and 2020 have seemingly accelerated the timeline of those expirations. What is that land? Question number 4. Tunisia's Jasmine Revolution kicked off a wave of early 2011 Mideast protests that are now known as what? Tunisia's Jasmine Revolution kicked off a wave of early 2011 Middle East protests, now known as what? And our last Lo-Fi Global Trivia question of the day, number 5. The now famous Schengen Agreement, which permits freedom of movement across the European continent, is named for a tiny village in what tiny country? The now famous Schengen Agreement, which permits freedom of movement across the European continent, is named for a tiny village in what tiny country? Love you, Lo-Fi. And this, just a snap of what's going on in the world today. I bring it down, man, like... Lo-Fi Poli-Sci is more than just me. It's the we that we be. Talk to you later. Pickern, signing off.